Hello to everyone listening. I'm Carmen, and this is My Horse Heart. Thanks so much for tuning in today, because I really want to focus on connection. And especially last week, I put out a blog post, The Antidote of Connection, as a way to really overcome our fear and hatred and violence and really that view of the other through our ability to connect. And stories, I really feel, are a beautiful way to connect to one another. They really break down barriers and allow us to be seeing the other as a human, as someone relatable. But how can we really draw out someone's story? That's why I have today's guest, Danielle Marr, with me here. Danielle is a journalist. I've known her for quite some time through my farrier work. Danielle published a fantastic article for True Presence Horse Sense. I'm so grateful to her. And welcome to the podcast, Danielle.
Oh, well, thank you.
Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am, as you said, a small town journalist. Dog loving, horse loving, wine loving, getting to know life in the North.
Excellent. What made you decide to get into journalism?
I had absolutely no idea what I was getting into when I got into journalism, to be honest with you. I wanted to be a writer. That's pretty much the reason why I ended up picking that path. At the time, I was deciding between whether or not I wanted to work at a ski resort or go back to school, and journalism it was. I had a degree already in English, and then the program that I found was a post-grad in new media journalism. And I had done a bunch of work on music video sets and stuff because my brother-in-law ran a production company. So I thought that the two kind of mashed well together. It was like broadcast and print journalism in an 8-month program. And then ended up sticking with the print side of things. I like the written word.
Very cool.
Yeah.
When we had spoken earlier, especially when you're interviewing me, now that the tables have turned, I get to ask you this question. You had mentioned that you really enjoy doing the interviews with others and kind of finding out about people that way. What do you enjoy about the interview process?
What do I enjoy about the interview process? I like getting to know people. I think it's that part of my job is it's just like an automatic way for me to meet new people and find out their stories, basically. Yeah.
Amazing. And that's exactly why I wanted to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah.
Because you have so much experience interviewing others and finding out people's story. I mean, I think that, like I was saying at the beginning, it's wonderful to have this connection with others, but how do we get there? How do we actually start drawing out people's stories? And so I wanted to ask you some questions about that.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to you to listen well?
I think a lot of people have a really bad habit of kind of like preparing the next thing that they're going to say in their head while people are talking. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who do that. Some people, it's been like a pet peeve of mine kind of thing. Either I'm talking or observing a conversation and one person says one thing and the other person is just jumping right back in with something that might not even be relevant to what the previous person was talking about. For me, listening is actually listening. Like,
hard to fake it, right?
Yeah. I mean, when in an interview context, I'm usually trying to get a particular kind of information. Like when we did our interview, I'm trying to find about you relevant to your business. So these questions are, you know, they're very pointed questions, but when it comes to listening, you have to literally just like open your ears up and absorb everything that that person is saying and allow for a pause every once in a while.
Yeah. Okay. So if I'm hearing you, to really open, I love that, open our ears up.
Yeah.
And be open to what they're saying.
Yeah.
Not to jump to our own conclusions and have the next thing ready to come out of our mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in an interview, you kind of got to give somebody time to express their thoughts and whatever they're trying to relay.
Yeah. What qualities do you think are involved in good listening?
Again, waiting for that pause, for sure. A lot of the time when I'm interviewing somebody, I'll ask a question and they'll answer the way that they think that they're supposed to answer. And then I'll wait for a second or two. Because a lot of the time, people don't really like silence. They like to fill silence. It makes people uncomfortable to have those 5 to 7 second pauses or whatever. And then another thought comes in. So it's, I've gotten a lot of good information from just, you know, pausing and listening and waiting and being patient for people to come up with whatever it is they happen to come up with.
Oh, I love that. You're really just opening the door, opening the platform for them to speak and having the patience to let them.
Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't always. Sometimes people are like, that's my answer.
For sure. For sure.
And then I allow the pause and then go on to the next question.
Yeah. And yeah. There'd have to be a certain comfort level, like you say, with that zone of silence and your patience to stay there, mm-hmm. even if it doesn't turn out well.
Yeah.
So when the pause doesn't work, the answers we get from people are only as good as the questions we ask. What makes a good question?
In interview terms or in general conversation terms?
In your terms.
In my terms.
Yeah, whatever that may be.
When I'm framing questions, when I'm trying to frame questions, definitely making them open-ended. So if you ask somebody, do you think this, you might get a response of, yeah. If you ask somebody, do you think this and why, then there's got to be a little bit more reasoning behind it. Like trying to, I guess you just have to try and pull information out. I have to try to pull information out of people a lot of the time. So yeah, open-ended questions are a big part of asking a good question.
Yeah. And I like that you threw in the and why, because I catch myself sometimes asking those close-ended questions. That's a good little trick to slip in at the end. Oh, it's starting close-ended, I can make it into an open end at the end.
Yeah, or and it depends on who you're talking to too, because sometimes I have had interviews where I have literally asked one question and then the other person talked for 40 minutes. It happens fairly often, actually. Completely depends who you're talking to and what you're talking to them about too, right? In interviews, like, a lot of the time people want to get all of this information into me because they know that I'm relaying it to the public, so they want to make sure that that message is relayed really clearly. So sometimes I can ask a very simple question and get a very, very long, non-simple answer. Sometimes I ask a simple question and get a simple answer, and then you can start asking those, like, why, or how did that happen, or how does that make you feel, or why is that important to you?
Yeah. And do you find that translates over to your personal life as well?
I'd say so.
Yeah. So what have you learned about asking good questions through your journalism experience? Has any story come up for you, for instance?
Yeah, there is one story that just like makes my heart smile. So we had this woman, is when I was working in Caledon. I don't know if you knew that already. I was working as a journalist in Caledon for 4 years before I moved up to work for the Omegwin News. So we had a woman who came in with a couple of pictures of some firefighters who had gone to a Remembrance Day ceremony or something, where her dad's name was on a plaque in Mississauga. And she wanted to know if we could do a story about the fact that these Caledon firefighters had gone to the ceremony. And it was just kind of, it wasn't really a story to me. Like when people start telling me things, I have to sort of figure out in my mind, is this something that the general public is going to be interested in? Is it something that's important to the community? You know, I ask all these questions. And then I started asking her more questions. And as it turned out, her father was the only firefighter in Caledon who had ever died in the line of duty when he was like 17 years old.
Wow.
And we spoke for 20, 30 minutes, and she ended up getting down to the fact of, you know, parks are named after people, streets are named after people. Why haven't they ever named anything after my dad? I don't get it. And she had tried to find out, she had tried to speak to the town of Caledon, and nothing ever came of it. So I ditched the ceremony story and went and found all of the old archives of when her dad died from, like, I think it was like the early 80s. I actually found an ad from my mom's hairdressing salon in the same archive. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I went and found the old archives, got the picture of her dad and did a story about Caledon woman wants to know why there isn't anything named in honor of her father. And that story was about 2 years ago. And she called me like a month ago and said that apparently they're now naming the street that's coming off of the new fire hall in Bolton after her dad. Because all of these firefighters and everything saw the story and people in the community. And I guess they got enough phone calls about it that now they're doing it.
What a beautiful result from your article.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. She was in tears calling me saying, you know, I went my whole life wondering why this never happened. But it was just from, you know, come in, present this information, ask a few more questions, end up with this information.
So what did it take from you to get over your initial thought of maybe this isn't a story? Like, how did you get to the point of realizing, wow, there's a lot more substance here?
I guess just asking more questions.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
There just seemed to be a little bit of a disconnect in what she was. You could tell it was important to her that somebody had gone and honored her father in some way or another.
Yeah.
So it was just asking more questions. And again, in that situation, just listening. Like, a lot of the time people just want you to listen.
Yeah.
So I might have sat there and she talked for 15 minutes and I went, hang on a second. 6 minutes ago, you mentioned something. Can we just go back to that? Can you explain that a little bit further? And then kind of pull the information out piece by piece. And she didn't even really know what I was writing when I wrote it. And then the story came out. She was like, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I love again, what you said at the beginning is really sticking to me. Just open your ears. You had your ears open. You were able to hear the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So I know you through my farrier work. We've also recently done some work together with your horse from True Presence Horse Sense, which has been so much fun to do. So I know clearly you're a horse person.
Yes.
Has being around horses impacted the way that you interact with other people?
I'd say so. Yeah. So I would say horses teach you that listening is not all in language. It's, you can tell how somebody's feeling in a situation by how they're sitting or how they're leaning, or horses don't have voices, but the tone in their voice, or, you know, there's a lot more than just words when it comes to listening.
Nice.
Yeah. We have to know body language to be around horses. It's the same with dogs, really. It's,
yeah.
There's a lot of listening and paying attention that is not in language. It's in perceiving physical cues.
And I think also, you know, upping our ability to perceive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot out of our workshop together. It was, it was interesting to me, and learning it in a little bit of a different way. I can pull lots of stuff from journalism, but it just a lot of the exercises and stuff that we went through, I've kind of like had in the back of my mind since that day, and how it can help me in my job in terms of, you know.
It's really great to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So talking about listening well,
mm-hmm.
and asking good questions,
yeah.
and how horses help with all of that,
yeah.
even if they're nonverbal.
Yeah.
How would you describe the role of connection in your own life?
The role of connection in my own life. If we're coming back to my job, a huge part of it is connecting with people, and being able to act in a way that people trust you. And to do that, I guess it's a whole sort of different things. It's the way that you present yourself. It's the tone of your voice. It's whether you're friendly or forceful or open and willing to listen. It's basically trying to make friends with somebody immediately, even though you don't know them whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to people about a lot of really, really personal things a lot of the time. So establishing that connection is perceiving how they're feeling that day. You know, I have good days and bad days. And if you schedule something, then you might get somebody on a bad day and you might get somebody on a good day. And perceiving if somebody's comfortable or uncomfortable. Like, you know, again, a lot of the time I'm going into people's homes. I interviewed a young mom with a screaming baby and 2-year-old climbing all over the table a little while ago, trying to put glasses on me while we're doing the interview. So I guess just being open to those things too, and being able to be comfortable in a lot of different situations when it comes to work. I don't know. I don't know if I answered that right.
No, I love that answer. I do, because I think it's really tying into everything as far as, I think even our ability to ask good questions comes from this place of connection. And our ability to listen comes from this place of connection, of being open, of having our ears open, of having this patience to allow connection to flourish, whether it's professionally for your articles or in our personal lives or meeting someone new on the street. And I love what you said about, you know, trying to be good friends with someone right off the bat. Yeah. Not in a fake way, but in a way that I think we're open more to really listening and feeling our good friends. And when we meet strangers or interviewing someone for your job or whatever is the case for someone we don't know, it can be easy, I think, to block them off into some kind of box of the other, if they're different than me, I don't understand them. So I love what you said.
Yeah. And actually being interested in other people, you know, like actually, whether it's for the purpose of your job or if it's Sally who's checking your groceries out, like everybody's got a cool story to tell, or everybody's going through something and you might have absolutely no idea that she just happened to come to work the day after her husband died. Like it feeling that and being interested in people and how their day is going, like just a simple how are you today, or trying to talk about something other than the fact that it's still snowing, like yeah, like feigning an interest in people too. I think a lot of people are, they can put other people in boxes, but you can also just be in your like box for the day, you know, it's like this is where I'm going and this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and be open to the idea that you might just meet somebody that's really interesting and has a cool story to tell. Then it's a cool way to connect with people.
I love that.
Yeah.
Break out of our boxes.
Those were finger guns.
For our listeners, that's right.
Perfect. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
My pleasure. And thank you so much to everyone who was tuning in and listening today. I hope you really got a lot out of everything Danielle was sharing. I hope you can break down some of your own boxes and invite people to break down theirs as well. Till next time on My Horse Heart.